Hello, everyone. It's time for the conversation with John Orr. This is your call-in show here on KMUN Astoria. So we welcome your calls to talk about today's topic. Today's topic is part two, the midterm elections. We're going to emphasize county and state and a little bit of local. My guest today is Mr. Brian Kidder. Knowledgeable, articulate fellow, also the campaign manager for the successful campaign of Pamela Webb for county commissioner. So we're excited to have him back on the show. So the phone number here to call if you have questions or comments, opinions, well-researched, hopefully, or at least presented in a civil manner, is 503-325-0010. And if I haven't made this clear before, I want people of all stripes and all opinions to feel free and comfortable to enjoy this process of the conversation. And so give us your calls, and we will we'll explore, see how we can learn together and keep the conversation going. So let's get started. So, Brian,
Good morning, Kidder,
how are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you this morning?
I am good, and I can hear you just fine, and hopefully the listeners can. So let's get right to it. A lot of things happening in our democracy, big things locally, statewide, and federal. We're going to concentrate probably on more local issues. And what strikes you as some of the more important topics or takeaways from this 2018 midterm, Brian Kidder?
Well, I think that because our local region have campaigns that don't have the kind of money to pay for polling, it's always a guess as to how your candidate is doing or how an initiative is doing until the very last minute. Many folks saw a lot of mailers, a lot of phone calls, lots of things that were coming their way, and those take a lot of money to do that. But really knowing where you stand is very difficult to do. So don't know that there were a lot of surprises in some of the races, but heard a lot of skepticism about how well someone would or would not do. And quite frankly, you know, heard a lot of Kate Brown was in trouble. Kate Brown won, I don't want to say handily, but she won.
That word comes to mind. Not a landslide, but I think it was 49% to 43%.
Right.
And that is a comfortable margin, to be sure. One thing I noticed was in the local House District 32 race was the amount of money that was taken in. I think Ms. Lauer, the losing Republican, I think she raised about $287,000, and Tiffany raised well in excess of $400,000. And that's just kind of mind-boggling. Where did all that money go?
Yeah, that's kind of the question. How did people spend their money that they raised? And again, I'll reference the mailers. Mailers are not cheap. You know, you referenced that I worked Pam Webb's campaign, and we did a couple of postcards during both the primary and the general election. And postage is one of your more expensive items. So yeah. I can only imagine what the candidates, especially in District 32, spent on mailers. The Republican candidate chose to spend a lot more money on television. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff is cheap, even though you do get kind of the candidate rate. There's a low dollar amount set for that. Still, tons of money spent. And in local elections, the theory is that if you knock on a lot of doors, that will supersede any other kind of spending on efforts. Well, people had paid door knockers, too. It wasn't just the candidates walking and knocking on doors.
Yeah, you need that. You know, and I want to remind our callers out there, this is a conversation with John Orr. Give us your call, the comments, 503-325-0010. I'm here with Brian Kidder. We got a half an hour show. One thing I noticed in terms of campaign spending, well, then we can start moving towards analysis of the results, was a comment that said that the Republicans this year, I think they're probably talking nationally or statewide otherwise, were spending more money on social media than Democrats. Democrats are still kind of in the old model, which is television, but social media is a lot cheaper and probably has the greater reach. What are your thoughts?
It does on a national scale. We tried, again, referencing Pam Webb's campaign, we tried boosting some Facebook ads during the primary, and the definition of the area that you want to send the ads to was much larger than her district size. So I can't say it was that terribly effective, you know, cost-wise, but yeah. How many of you, show of hands here, how many people had on their Facebook feed or anytime they'd play a game on their phone, an ad popped up for the Astoria School Board? That happened to me several times while I was playing Seven Little Words on the phone. So people have found ways of getting their message out through social media.
Well, I do want to congratulate you because your opponent, Peter Roscoe,
well-known gentleman in the community, Pam, newer, and so we felt as though our approach was to be to highlight some issues that we were hearing on the campaign trail, and I think we had a good, clean campaign, so I think it just came down to folks' preferences, we think, that looking for some newer, fresher ideas.
And that was about a 52-48 margin for Pam Webb?
53-47.
Yeah, 47.
And none of those results are totally official yet, but they're kind of tweaking by one and two votes every time I look at the Secretary of State's page.
But she really must have had a ground game. She must have really reached out. I mean, do you know what the turnout was in terms of...
Let's see. I think the turnout, at least in Clatsop County, is kind of the best number I have, was just over 68%.
Holy cow. That's got to be the highest in the state.
I don't know. The state had 62%, I thought, or something. So it was. And so the big question is why? Why was there a lot of turnout? I think locally there were a lot of sexy candidates, well, let me rephrase that, sexy opportunities for people to vote. There were city council races that had a little intrigue because we had candidates who dropped out of both mayoral and council races in the city of Astoria, some back and forth with the mayors in Seaside and Warrenton. So I think that there was some stuff on the ballot that really got people's attention.
Well, I want to remind our callers, this is a call-in show, so... Let's get to it here. I'd like to hear if any callers were surprised about the passage of the money for the Clatsop County Jail facility, which passed after three failures previously, 55-44%. Yeah, that kind of floored me because, you know, the implications of passing a bond for the jail, $20 million, and passing bonds as Astoria and Warrenton did for schools means that property taxes are going to go up. Now, if you look at it in just an incremental fashion, are they going up really that much? And the answer probably is not. But if you have already passed a bunch and there's a bunch of standing obligations for your tax bill, your property tax bill, and you're on a fixed income or you're just not making that much money and you happen to be a property owner, at some point, it causes real hardship, and so I was kind of surprised about that one. So they must have done a good job, Sheriff Bergen and them, at getting the message out.
You know, in the crowd I was running with, we were all speculating the same way. Folks would probably vote for school children over prisoners, and it looks like they voted for both.
Yes,
you know, not saying that the money is going to prisoners, but the public safety aspect was something that I think surprised a lot of people that the jail did pass. Now, you mentioned tax burden. Yeah, look at your property tax bill, the statement that comes in at the end of the year, and yeah, it's going up every year. I believe that one of the things that will start to define the Democrat and Republican parties, at least locally and nationally, will be how do they address issues that both parties aren't really addressing. And it's going to be key things like tax increases, efficiency in government, affordable housing, public safety. And I think that the differences between whether someone's voting red or blue will have a tendency to kind of sway back and forth depending on how the candidates approach those key issues.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that... Sherrod Brown, I read an article in the New York Times about him. He's a possible contender for you know, the 2020 Democratic nomination. And he's got an approach which is more issue-focused rather than party-based. And I know from personal experience that you can piss people off in your base or in your party if you don't hew a very narrow, rigid line supported by the base, the activists, the door knockers, and so forth. And so I agree. I think this is what the voters want. They want their leaders to be less identified with partisan rigidity and more identified with, you know, bread and butter issues. What are the economic issues that the Democrats are going to propose? It's pretty clear what the Republicans, you know, have done with their tax cut and in favor of the rich and corporations. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, one thought, and folks, the number here is 503-325-0010. This is The Conversation with John Orr. It's not The Conversation with John Orr and Brian Kidder, but we'll make time till somebody does. But in looking at these results that seem more favorable and upbeat for passage of the jail, passage of bond and the school bonds, either that reflects greater prosperity or a changing demographic here locally, that there are more people moving here, that there are younger people or a different socioeconomic grouping, and they want their good schools and they want public safety and they're willing to pay for it. What do you think about that?
I think that that's the case. I believe that for political junkies like we represent, we may be so focused on individual details and fail to recognize that the average voter does not spend as much time following issues as we do. As everyone will readily say, first time a lot of folks even think about things on a ballot is when they get the voter pamphlet that shows up in the mail, while campaigns have been working it for months. And that's, I don't want to call it a short attention span, but a focused attention span that really comes down to making decisions by the voter, it tends to be an impressionable group. Therefore, campaigns go for things that make impressions, whether it is for a jail campaign, let's say, highlighting the harm that comes from having not enough jail space, or if it is an initiative, the back and forth of whether you want to protect groceries from being taxed or not. So they'll find an easy to understand concept for either an initiative or a candidate and push the heck out of that what seems to happen.
Well, wouldn't it be great if the changes reflect greater voter participation? So one article I saw, it was Rachel Maddow, she did the article said a large swath of 2018 voters were voting for the first time. So maybe all the controversy, the indivisible, the resistance, the polarization and activation of, you know, the base elements in the left and the right are creating more voter interest, I guess that could be a good thing.
It could be. As the vote tallies become official, we'll be able to dig into the numbers and see average voter age. During the primary in Clatsop County, the average voting age was 65 years of age.
Yeah.
That doesn't speak to me to say, all these young folks are really activated and they're out voting.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a given here. If you walk around, you go shopping, it's a great crowd.
Yeah. Ask Hillary Clinton if the young folks showed up and voted for her, too. So yeah. I think it's nationally something to consider as well. And while the voter turnout number was pretty high, I think that speaks to a community that if you do have older folks, they do have a tendency to pay more attention to politics and to elections. So a lot of factors go into it that'll be nice to look into those numbers, especially the precinct-by-precinct count, which will let you see that in Clatsop County, for example, it's a far more conservative community south of Young's Bay than it is, obviously, in the Astoria area.
True.
And, you get along the coastline a little bit more conservative.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on that one. I'm talking to Brian Kidder. This is a conversation with John Orr. Give us a call, 503-325-0010. And if any of you have thoughts on what do you think were the takeaways or the trends indicated by the 2018 midterms, it'd be good to hear from you. And now one of them, it seems undeniable, is the participation and the success, the electoral success of women nationally and here in the state of Oregon. Oh, it looks like the calls, did we get a call light coming in here? That would be exciting. So, so that seems significant. Kate Brown had a much easier time with her election. I think there are now close to 100 women in the House of Representatives. And I'm encouraged by that. Maybe a different dynamic, a different problem-solving approach. Now, maybe that's naive. What do you think, Brian?
Well, I think that as folks become more comfortable with women in office, that you will see more women be elected. It's just like what happened in the corporate world that I'm more familiar with, that diversity of gender, of opinion, of race, all bring different perspectives to the table that benefit everybody. And I believe that having more women on the ballot to be considered is an excellent thing for this country because, heaven forbid, the females are the majority in this country.
All right. Looks like we got our first caller here. You're on the conversation with John Orr. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just wanted to register that I received 12, no less than 12 comments from the Bueller campaign, 12 robocalls from the Bueller campaign.
Wow.
I know that's hard to believe. At least I think it's hard to believe. 3 of them I actually found on my phone at when I returned home after the celebration on Election Day. But the others came in within a week. 2 of them were allegedly from Bueller himself, 2 of them allegedly from his wife, 1 of them from someone who claimed to be an independent, and the others were just from the campaign. And for the record, I'm a registered Democrat, so I found it very curious. It was harassment to the max because it used up with robocalls. You can't stop them. The message goes on your machine. It took up my voicemail.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's making these decisions, but I obviously it was ineffective as well as a pain in the butt.
All right. We appreciate your comment. Do you want to stand by and participate further, or you just want to?
No, I just wanted to let you know one other craziness that went on this particular election. I was pleased with the results, not all of them, but locally.
Yes.
In Oregon, not all of them, but most.
All right. Well, thank you again for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, John, one of the things about the robocall, the process itself, it's a computer just sitting there dialing one number after another. And when you have the occasion, if you ever get one of these calls at home, it's a phone number you don't recognize. Most of us aren't even picking it up because they are stealing phone numbers, local numbers, to make you think it's somebody local. But if you've ever gotten one of these calls where you pick up the phone and there's no one there, that's because the computer gives them so many seconds to complete a call. It automatically dials the next number for them if they haven't finished the call before. That's why you get dead air. So I believe that eventually the robocalling is going to be less effective than it is effective because of callers just like this, the comment there. You're not inclined to listen to an argument that has already made you upset by the fact that you even got the call.
Yeah, yeah, that would seem to be a stretch. You know, I have a couple of thoughts on that. One of them was that the Bueller campaign, representing putatively a moderate Republican position and grasping the realities of Oregon gubernatorial politics, necessarily had to reach out to Democrats in order to get through the finish line. The rural vote you know, the red counties, which are definitely in the majority in this state, would not and have not put a Republican in the governor's office since Vic Atiyah back in the 80s. So I think they had to do that, and they certainly had the funds to do it, because I think it was about $2 million that Phil Knight, you know, the CEO of Nike, pumped into that to no avail. So I'm encouraged. I mean, there was some. I liked the independence that Buehler seemed to pronounce, but he got an F on some, you know, Oregon League of Conservation Voters ranking for environmental issues. And let's face it, if you don't really differentiate yourself from the Republican Party, as it now clearly is the party of Trump, then you're going to have a hard time reaching across the aisle to the Democrats.
And the Donald Trump is either a help or a hindrance to Republicans, depending on what part of the country you're in. And in Oregon, it's a hindrance to the largest geographic areas of voter strength. Rural counties, not that way, but that's something that the Republicans have to factor in. And as you mentioned, either distance yourself or embrace. There's kind of no middle ground.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a kind of a Faustian bargain for a guy like Newt Buehler, because if he distanced himself from Trump, he would dilute the support and enthusiasm he received from those truly red counties in Oregon. And would it make up for the disaffection among Democrat voters with Kate Brown, who, let's face it, is not one of the more charismatic leaders on the political scene today? But, you know, I looked into it, and she doesn't seem like a person's about getting credit or grandstanding, and she may be a career politician, but she does seem informed on the issues and trying to make headway. And it'll be interesting to see, because voters have now created a situation where there's a supermajority in the House of Representatives, and that paves the way for maybe some significant changes, maybe changing the way we finance our schools, maybe addressing the PERS funding deficit, although
good luck with that.
Frankly, doubt it, because there are those political realities on the ground. Here we are. It's a conversation with John Orr, 503-325-0010. Please give us a call. Tell us what you think the key takeaway or takeaways are of this midterm. And we're going to be moving past this, but, you know, half-hour show last week, we didn't get very much. So I'd really like to hear your comments or questions. And certainly Brian Kidder, who ran a successful and, surprisingly successful campaign for Pamela Webb, our new county commissioner, one of our new county commissioners. He's here, and he always has a lot to say. So do give us a call. We appreciate all of those who maybe just feel like listening to us old political junkies hag on.
John, just as much as people may be breathing a sigh of relief that this campaign season is over, there are elections coming in May. There are, I believe, 120 in Clatsop County, different positions open. Tons of rural fire districts, school boards. I sit on the transportation district, four seats open there. The community college, Clatsop Care, there are tons of positions. The port has positions open. So not only will they start to see more things coming and ramping up as individuals file, I think the filing deadline opens in February, there will be elections in May. And not only do you have the opportunity to express your opinion on a lot of different races, you have the opportunity to get in and do something. Every one of these, if I'm thinking correctly, are nonpartisan races. So it's not a Democrat versus Republican issue. It's folks with the opportunity to express their opinion on a lot of things. So there's a lot still coming in May that are extremely important.
No question about it. I'm so troubled by what's gone on in Florida with their inability to get it together with elections, with recounts, and they're really affecting the function of democracy, because it's such a big state, such an important state in terms of electoral votes, in terms of a close balance and checks of balance in Congress. So, Rick Scott, the governor, didn't distance himself In the same way, Brian Kemp, successful gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, did not distance himself. I mean, come on. The appearance of things matters as much as the reality of things, and it just troubles me that there was a lack of appreciation for the appearance of things by Governor, by Senator, let's see, Scott, by Rick Scott. Right,
by Rick
the governor,
Scott, yeah, the governor.
Who's now the senator-elect, unless things change. And just, why can't they be like Oregon? Why can't they just do vote by mail? It just makes me really appreciate the cynicism, perhaps, that a lot of voters feel on a gut level. Maybe not through the analytical lenses like you and me, but we have a caller, so let's take that caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. What's your question or comment?
Good morning, John. Yes. I just wanted to give a shout out to all the volunteers who helped elect great people. It's not 100% on your topic, but not only is it important for us to elect women and minorities, but the way that those good folks get elected is there's a whole slew of volunteers who maybe aren't comfortable running for office, but are willing to do the hard work behind the scenes. And the wonderful work that Brian Kidder did was as a volunteer. Your campaign ran on volunteers. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the good folks in Clatsop County who volunteered for campaigns. And anybody who doesn't want to run, there's lots of ways to help good people get elected, even if you're not willing to run.
Well, that's a great comment. Do you want to stay on the air or take or just listen to us babble on about it?
I'll just listen in. Thanks for your show, John.
Okay, thank you. You know, that is a really good point, and as I was a candidate for the first time and probably the only time for House District 32, the difference in outcomes is so much affected by volunteers. If you can have, I mean, I had like three or four door knockers maybe on one or two occasions, and, you know, my opponent just had a gazillion of them. So it's really, you know, it's an amazing thing. Looks like we have another call here. This is a conversation with John Orr. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to point out that even though we have this election is over, that there are positions that are going to open up, like in the city of Astoria, in the Planning Commission, looking for appointees there. And also that Bruce Jones' ward, there's a chance that the council will be looking to appoint a new person there, and people need to be thinking about whether they're interested in stepping up into the, you know, applying to these positions.
That's a very good point. Yes, people do need to consider that not only is it a civic duty or a great opportunity, but if you don't like the way things are going or the way things are run, you know, get involved and you'll get an education, and particularly a place like Astoria. You can have an influence. You can have a say. I have volunteered for the Clatsop County Planning Commission. It's fascinating. You have to kind of like to read, but the meetings are not too long, and it doesn't really interfere with my private, you know, my private life and so forth. I'm interested in planning. But, yeah, you make a really good point, and we thank you for that. And we got to wrap it up here, so we're going to hang up. Thanks again.
Thanks.
You bet. So yeah, what a quick half hour this was. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my guest, Brian Kidder, successful campaign manager, a guy who is really on it, successful campaign manager for Pamela Webb. So, thanks for being here,
John. Always enjoy it.
All right. We'll have you back. So we'll be back next Friday at 9:30 with a conversation with John Orr. We always appreciate your calls. Thank you, though, for those of you who did call. We really do appreciate it. And you're listening to KMUN 91.9 Astoria, FM KTCB, Tillamook 89.5, Coast Community Radio, streaming live at coastradio.org.